Hello and welcome to Morning Manna. My name is Ron, and today we're going to be going through, we're continuing on a series through the life of David, and today we're going to be mainly going through 2 Samuel 18. And so before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, just thank you, Father, for how you love us, Lord, and how you're faithful to work in us, even in the hard times in our lives. And you're still loving to us, Lord. So we just thank you for that. And Father, just pray that as we go through your word, Lord, that you would just bring out your truths to us today. Amen. So as we talked a little bit about last week, David had received a prophecy and a rebuke from Nathan. And the prophecy was that as a result of David's sin of adultery and murder, that the sword was not going to depart from his household. And now we're seeing it actually come to bear in a series of sad events that happen. Now, Absalom, his own son, is rising to prominence, and he's actually going to be making a play for the throne while David's still on it. And so we read a little bit about Absalom, get a little bit of insight into him. In 2 Samuel 14:25, and it says, "Now in Israel, there was no one so much to be praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he cut the hair of his head, for at the end of every year he used to cut it, when it was heavy on him, he cut it. He weighed the hair of his head 200 shekels by the king's weight." So kind of interesting, you see that Absalom was praised for his handsome appearance. And you just imagine on the Israeli magazines, he's always winning the most handsome character or most handsome person of the award every year. And it seems like he kind of likes it, because here he is waiting once a year to get his hair cut. Which is kind of amazing, because I did the math on this, and it's a little over 4 pounds is 200 shekels. So the vanity of this guy, you could tell he's definitely liking the attention. And so he waits for this annual sheep shearing event and weighs it all out. And I bet there's a little bit of fanfare going with this thing, too. And it's interesting, because we see now that he's waiting at the gates at the city and trying to act like he has a heart for the people. He's winning them over. And eventually one day the word comes back to David and it's told to him, the hearts of the people of Israel are with Absalom. And so David, when he hears that, he knows what that means and he has to get out right away. And so he takes his mighty men and his faithful followers with him, and they hightail it out of Israel. And as Absalom then later comes in, takes the throne, and now he has the Israelite army that he is now going against David. And so we pick up here in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "Then David mustered the men who were with him and set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. And David sent them out, one-third under the command of Joab, one-third under the command of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the command of Ittai the Hittite. And the king said to the men, 'I myself will also go out with you.' But the men said, 'You shall not go out, for if we flee, then they will not care about us. If half of us die, they will not care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, it is better that you send us help from the city.' The king said to them, 'Whatever seems best to you, I will do.' So the king stood at the side of the gate while the army marched out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai deal gently for my sake with the son, with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. So we see David here has his army, and he's giving them orders, and he's assigning them out where to go and under their different commands. And it's interesting because we see here his heart for his son still. Even though his son's after him, he's taking him off the throne, he still loves him. And it's kind of neat and it's sad at the same time. But there it is. So continuing on, in 2 Samuel 18:6, so the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. And the men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the loss there was great on that day, 20,000 men. And the battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword. So I'm going to read that again. The forest devoured more people that day than the sword. What does that mean? Well, I don't think it's a real stretch to say that God actually used the forest itself to take out these men and to tip the battle in David's favor. And we see that in other places in the Bible. In Joshua, it says that the Lord used hailstones against the Canaanites. And it actually says that more died by hailstones than by the sword in that event. In Exodus, when Pharaoh's army is coming out against the Israelites, he uses the Red Sea to devour Pharaoh's army altogether. But then again, we also see it how the Lord even works in concert with the trees, because in Isaiah 55, 12, it talks about how the trees are actually applauding the Lord's return, which is exciting. But it just shows how the Lord's connected to his creation, and he can use his creation however he wills. Were they walking, talking trees like in Lord of the Rings? I probably doubt it, but I definitely think the Lord used them instrumentally in this battle and brought about their victory. So why do I go on and share that? I share that because you might be in a battle today. You might be in a situation where you think the odds are overwhelmingly against you. And the thing I would encourage you today is you might think, well, it's got to be done a certain way in order for me to gain victory. Probably like these men thought. They probably were not thinking the trees were going to help them out in this battle, or that the forest was going to devour more people than the sword at the very least. But there it is. And so I just want to encourage you today that the Lord can do that. He can work in ways that you're not even seeing. So we continue on. And Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak, and he was suspended between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak." Absalom said to the man who told him, "What, you saw him? Why then did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have been glad to give you 10 pieces of silver and a belt." But the man told Joab, "Even if I felt in my hand the weight of 1,000 pieces of silver, I would not reach out my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, for my sake, protect the young man Absalom. On the other hand, if I had dealt treacherously against his life and there is nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have stood aloof." And Joab said, "I will not waste time like this with you." And he took 3 javelins in his hand and thrust them into the heart of Absalom while he was still alive in the oak. And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. So we see here that Absalom was caught in a tree. And yet again, here again, the Lord's using a tree to cut. It says it catches his head, but you just got to imagine his hair is somehow coming into play here. As far as being caught up. But here he is, Absalom hanging by his own head and getting put down. And so then we're going to skip down to verse 31, where the report comes back to David. It says there in 2 Samuel 18:31, "And behold, the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, 'Good news for my lord the king, for the Lord has delivered you this day from the hand of all who rise up against you.' And the king said to the Cushite, 'Is it well with the young man Absalom?' And the Cushite answered, 'May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be like that young man.' And the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, 'Oh, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you. Absalom, my son, my son.'" So kind of a sad thing, because even though David won the battle, you know, you could see he's lost a son and just hitting a hard time in his life. And even as he says, he'd wished death upon himself. And so, you know, you were seeing the effects, the result of his sin, but at the same time, the Lord's faithful and he uses all things for our good. And he's not done with David, and he's still going to keep working in him. And we're going to see that next week when he has his triumphal return back to Israel. And so just pray you have a blessed day. Thank you.